Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Ayin Dalit, Sanhedrin 74a, pagination is 147. We're going to focus on a famous concept that for three biggies, a person should be willing to have himself killed rather than violate. So the Gemara can be found about midway in the wide lines at the beginning of a line. Kol avera shebetorah, all violations of the Torah, im omrim la'adam, if some wicked, bad people tell him, avor va'al te'horeg, violate this, and we won't kill you. Yavo va'al yehoreg, he should violate it, give them their kicks, but not get killed. Chutz, except for, me'avodas kochavim, idol worship, v'gili arayis, an immoral acts, ushvichas damim, and murder. So we have over here a basic principle that for the three biggies, we're willing to be killed rather than violate. Now, there is another consideration that if something was befarhesia publicly, then there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem that kicks in, which is to sanctify Hashem's name and not to desecrate it. So if privately some non-Jews told the Jew, eat pork, otherwise we'll kill you, so privately he's allowed to eat the pork to save his life. If, however, that was done publicly as a showdown of religion, that's a whole different case. But again, in general, other violations, a person is allowed to violate and not be killed. When it comes to the three biggies, the Gemara derives that you have to be willing to be killed rather than violate. So the Gemara spends time to derive these things from the Psukim. I'd like to focus on just one of them, which is the case of murder, about seven lines up, the third word on the line, which has a specific practical ramification. Rotzeach gufei minolon. How do you know in cases of murder that you're not allowed to kill the other person to save yourself? Svarahu. The Gemara says it's a svara. Dehuda asa kamei de Rava. There was a story of a person who came to Rava, and told him, Amali Mari Dirai, the head of the city told me, Zilkatle Liplanyo, go kill a certain person, Vilo Katlina Loch, if not I'm gonna kill you. Amale, so Rava told him, Liktaloch, you have to allow yourself to be killed, Velo Siktol, don't kill. And what he said was a svara, a logic. Mi Yemar, who says the Dama Didach Sumik Tfei, that your blood is redder than that person's blood? Dama Dama Dahu Gavra Sumik Tfei, maybe his blood is redder than yours. In other words, how do you know that your life is more important than the next guy's? There is a practical ramification in this, in the ever-growing trend of harvesting organs from dying people, that there is the necessity to verify that the person is indeed dead before harvesting. And many medical centers have systems in place to have the person pronounced dead by an independent team, independent of the transplant team, because they don't want conflict of interest. But it's something to be aware of, and certainly historically, there were cases where questionable acts were done, where the people doing them did not think of themselves as evil in any way. They felt they were doing the higher good. They were harvesting from a patient that was a goner from a car accident, let's say, and they were transplanting to somebody who could live a good, productive life if only we could harvest the organ in a more prompt way. They certainly didn't intend any ill, but if the person's still alive, then we're not allowed to play God and kill one person in order to save the life of another. And that's all based on this principle. When Hashem gives life, who says that this one's life is redder, is more important, is more vibrant in God's world than the next person's? We don't have the right to say that life is life, and we're not allowed to tamper with a person who is still living. As I mentioned, if something was befarhesya in public, then the rule changes and it becomes much more serious, because it becomes an issue of chilul Hashem and kiddush Hashem, not just the act of violation. And even in a lesser act of violation, it might also be incumbent on the person not to violate to save his life. If you look at Amud Beis, about 10 lines down, the Gemara asks a very provocative question. V'ha'ester parhesya havoi. Esther is a Jewish woman. We consider her a righteous woman. It was a public piece of information that she was with Ahasuerus as husband and wife, which would be a Gili Arayas type violation. How did she do it? Even if you were to argue to save her life, to save the life of many people, but that's precisely what we're saying, Gili Arayas is the type of violation that you're not allowed to do to save lives. And the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abaye, Esther Karka Olam Haisa. Abaye says that Esther was passive, and essentially she's being assaulted every time. It's against her will, she's doing nothing. And that would be the reason that it's permitted, which has far-reaching consequences. If a woman is passive as she's being assaulted, God protect us, but she's not obligated to fight to the death to avoid it. She's passive. It's not considered Gili Arayas in what she's doing, or we should better say not doing. Rava Omar, Rava said, there's a different angle here that takes away the Chilul Hashem. Hanos Atzman Shaini. They're doing it for their own benefit. This was not done as a showdown of religion. This was done because he has a desire. And according to Rava's distinction, also far-reaching consequences, that if the demand to do the violation is simply that they're asking the person to work on Shabbos because they want to get the job done, but not as a religious thing, then it becomes the case of pikuach nefesh and sakana, and you could violate Shabbos for that, according to Rava's reasoning. In a case, though, where they're saying, violate Shabbos, because he wants to prove his point, that he believes Jewish religion doesn't have to be respected, it's meaningless to him, so then we have a problem, because he's doing it la'avor al-dos, to cause someone to violate the religion, and his motive would make a difference. Two lines later, Va'ozda Rava Letaimei, Rava is following his reasoning. To Omar Rava, Rava said, Akum to Omar Le'lahai Yisrael, if a non-Jew told a Jew, Ketola Spasta B'Shabata, cut the grain, the plant, on Shabbos, V'shodi L'chiyusa, and throw it to animals as food, V'ilo katol nolach, and if you don't do the job, I'm going to kill you. Liktal, he should cut it. V'lo liktale, and don't let yourself get killed. But shodi l'nahara, throw it into the river, meaning it was meaningless. He didn't need the job done. He's just doing it to be offensive against Shabbos. Lichter lay velo lichtel. Then he has to let himself be killed and not to cut the item. Maitaima, it's a violation of kotzer, cutting, harvesting on Shabbos. La'avure milsa kaboy, and he's doing it purely as a showdown of religion. These halachas are clearly very complex, but at least to be aware of these halachas, it's important to recognize the severity and the loyalty that Jews have in a case of Kiddush Hashem, and in particular in the case of these three big averos that we have described. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.